Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is just crazy when you look at this story a little bit more closely here. Real quick, as we get this 8 o'clock hour up and rolling for you here on Thursday's Montana Talks. We mentioned this story earlier in the week. Protests in Whitefish after five people detained by the U.S. Border Patrol. So long story short here, the U.S. Border Patrol, great job doing their job. Basically, they come across a vehicle, a car accident. Apparently, the driver had some trouble driving. Then the driver had some trouble speaking English. Then the Border Patrol does an investigation and finds out every single one of these people in this vehicle are in this country illegally. So then what happens? The far-left protesters that are, of course, connected here with the far-left movement in the Flathead Valley, they organize and then they start protesting in front of the Border Patrol offices in Whitefish once again. But things apparently got out of hand. As you read the full statement here that came from the Whitefish Police Department regarding the arrests that were made Tuesday morning here, not only did you have protesters blocking the highway, blocking vehicle traffic on the highway, they locked arms trying to prevent a Border Patrol vehicle from leaving their facility. But then on top of that, you had noise complaints and things like that from folks that live in the area. But on top of that, a report was also made to the Whitefish Police Department alleging a protester had thrown plywood at a U.S. Border Patrol vehicle. The case is currently under investigation. And then according to this statement here that was released by the Whitefish Police Department and city support the right of all individuals to peacefully protest within the bounds of the law. Obstructing access to any public or private roadway is a violation of city ordinance and the laws of Montana. So here we go. Reports of more, let's just call it what it is, political violence being directed towards our Border Patrol agents. You know, I was doing show prep earlier this morning, and one of the newsletters that I subscribe to is a great one. It's the Unleash Prosperity Hotline. And I shared this on X earlier this morning. 41% of Gen Z supports political violence. Stephen Moore then wrote this for the Unleash Prosperity Hotline. If this trend line continues, it may be a majority belief among the next generation of voters. That is a clear and present danger. And then Stephen Moore says this: this is the generation of snowflakes that demand safe spaces, but yet look at how many of them support political violence. And we know that overwhelmingly this support for political violence is coming from the left. All right, lots to talk about this morning right here on Montana Talks. Coming up right after the break, we've got the Montana Supreme Court Chief Justice Corey Swanson joining us and more. So stand by, back with Montana Talks right after this. And then later in the hour, we've got Rick Jor out of Lake County.
It's September 18th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Air Force Day, commemorating the establishment of the Air Force as a separate branch of the military in 1947. The Air Force can trace its roots back to the Civil War when they were first established at the Signal Corps, and their job was to provide visual communication from aerial balloons using flags or torches. President Harry Truman's signing of the National Security Act in 1947 has allowed the Air Force to push the boundaries of technology and become the swiftest tactical force within the military. Also on this date, in 1899, The Maple Leaf Rag by ragtime composer Scott Joplin was copyrighted by the U.S. Copyright Office. Also in 1947, the National Military Establishment began its first day of operations. We all know it today as the Department of Defense. If it's your birthday today, you share it with Hockey Hall of Fame coach Scotty Bowman, born in 1933. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Look, guys, this is a huge story. A while back, I saw a headline about how Bill Gates is pulling $450 million back from Arabella Advisors. Who is Arabella Advisors, and what does this mean for Montana? I'll tell you what, this is huge news, because Arabella Advisors is the dark money network that funds all these Democrat Party front groups, all these environmental extremist groups here in Montana, and more. Check out that story, MontanaTalks.com.
Check the backseat.
That's in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, let's jump right into it. Not only do we have Montana's Supreme Court Chief Justice Corey Swanson with us on the phone lines right now, he's in Billings, Montana this morning. We've also got two district court judges in Yellowstone County with us on the line as well. So a great honor to have all three of you with us. Chief Justice Swanson, start off by telling us why you're in Billings this morning, because it sounds like kind of we're starting to see a little bit of much-needed judicial reform to try to streamline some processes here.
Aaron, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm joined by District Judges Brett Linweber and Rod Souza. And they're the brains of the event that I'm about to tell you about. I'm not going to take their credit. But we've seen the growing caseloads in across the state, in particular in Yellowstone County, and part of that's the growing criminal caseload. And the legislature created two additional judge positions for this district. So once the governor appoints them this fall, there will be 10 judges in the 13th Judicial District, Yellowstone County. Well, we need to do more than just add judges to kind of handle this workload. So there's very much a locally driven effort, and with support from the legislature, today we're announcing that the district is going to create specialized divisions. So there will be a criminal division and a civil division. And what that will allow, we believe, is more efficient processing of both criminal and civil cases, and getting cases to trial and getting people to court dates. And it's kind of an innovation thing that, like I said, first ever in the history of Montana. So I'm really excited to come support it. And that's why we're here today.
Yeah, very interesting. I know during the legislative session there was talk about maybe, you know, breaking out more courts that specialized in business issues, for example, like a chancery, if I remember right. So it sounds like kind of this is a similar concept in how we can break apart these types of. So what's the concept here? Let's go first to Judge Brett Linweber in Yellowstone County. Judge, tell us what you think we'll do and how it'll work.
Well, we believe that thanks to the legislature and governor's buy-in on this and their support, that by having a civil and criminal division, we're going to be able to offer more courtroom time. That includes trials, hearings for each category at a quicker rate. For instance, on the criminal end, we're going to be able to show some stats on how Yellowstone County has exploded as far as it, not just its size and growth, but the unfortunate crime. But we're going to be able to add 26 additional trial weeks available to move these cases along. By having a civil division where we're focusing on the family law, the lawsuits, those will no longer get the, quote, last priority that is required under the statute, and we can move those along more quickly as well.
Very interesting. And Judge Rod Souza, I remember back in the day before you were a district judge, you were a prosecutor working in the county attorney's office. From your vantage point with that prosecutorial background, what do you think this will help accomplish?
Well, first, thanks for having us on this morning, Aaron. We really appreciate the time. Yeah, we'll show some data here later today. I think back in 2010, the Yellowstone County Attorney's Office had probably between 650 and 700 felony filings here for Yellowstone County. And then in the last few years, that number has topped 1,700. So over 1,000 cases added. And so it's created this real work backlog over the years. And what it results in is on any criminal trial week, judges have to stack their cases. And so if I was to have a criminal trial week set for next Monday, I would have to stack all of those cases that are set for jury trial. And sometimes we'll see those stacks have 20 cases deep, sometimes 40, even 50 cases deep. And so that really creates some inefficiencies. So in a situation where one of those cases does move forward to jury trial, all of those other cases behind it have to be vacated and reset, and that creates some backlog. Then on top of that, as Judge Lynn Weber had just talked about, criminal cases, especially those individuals who are in custody, they receive some of the highest priority for cases here in Montana. And so what that means is if I have my family law cases or some of my civil litigation stacked behind a criminal case, if that criminal case moves forward, all of those cases get vacated and have to be reset. And so that can be very frustrating for litigants who have waited a long time to get into court. And we really believe that this project will bring a lot more efficiency to our system.
Those efficiencies, I can't imagine how helpful that could be all the way up the chain. Chief Justice Corey Swanson, talk about how this might also help improve things like backlogs at the state Supreme Court level, for example, about 1 minute to go before the next break.
Yeah, I'm looking at the entire operation. I'm looking at the internal operations. I'm looking at our budget. I'm looking at the ways that we can be more efficient. And then, as you know, that's what we're doing in Helena. And then statewide, I'm looking at efforts like this, where, like I said, I didn't come up with this idea. They did, but I definitely want to support innovation. And then maybe other districts will look at it and see if they want to adopt something similar.
I was going to say, because just like we've heard about, you know, the backlog and understaffing that appears to be the case in Yellowstone County, I've heard the same thing in Gallatin County. We know that jails are full across the state, and then those issues just start to compound, and backlogs only help make those issues even more challenging. So it's got to be tackled on every front. So, yeah, it just sounds like an incredible effort here by these Yellowstone County district judges with support from the Chief Justice. We'll talk more right after this quick break right here on Montana Talks, as we're joined by Chief Justice Corey Swanson and Judge Souza and Judge Lynn Weber, back with Montana Talks right after this. Hey, if you have a quick question or comment, shoot us a message on the Montana Talks app.
Fox Sports Update.
That one lobbed into Zandalasini. Tough shot, puts it up at the buzzer, and it's no good. The Minnesota Lynx able to hold on. They close out the series in two games. And what a gutsy effort by the Valkyrie, coming up just short as the top-seeded Minnesota Lynx survive and advance to the semifinals.
On ESPN, the best of three-game series ended in the minimum two games. Minnesota Lynx, who had a record of 0-76 in games they had trailed by at least 14 points going into the fourth quarter since the league switched from halves to quarters in 2006. The Lynx came back from 14 down at the start of the fourth to beat the Valkyries 75-74 and move into the WNBA semifinals against the winner of the series between the New York Liberty and Phoenix Mercury. Phoenix forced a deciding game three tomorrow with last night's blowout win in New York, 86-60. Baseball, for the first time since 2020, the Chicago Cubs are in the playoffs. The Cubs won for the seventh time in eight games Wednesday, 8-4 over the Pirates. Chicago joined Philadelphia and Milwaukee, who have clinched National League playoff spots. American League, the Houston Astros back in first place in the AL West by a half game over the Seattle Mariners. The Astros beat the Rangers 5-2. The Mariners' 10-game win streak snapped by the Royals 7-5. Seattle is tied with Boston for the final two American League playoff spots. The Red Sox beat the Athletics in 10 innings, 5-4. The Yankees, who lead the wild card by two games over Boston and Seattle, scored a 10-5 win against the Twins. New York is within four games of Toronto for first place in the AL East. Blue Jays lost to the Rays 2-1. The Padres beat the Mets 7-4. New York still a game and a half in front of Arizona for the final National League playoff spot. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a packed show here this morning. And in addition to the judges and the Chief Justice that we've got on the program right now, we're going to take you to Lake County, going to catch up with Rick Jor here later this hour of the show. I'm looking forward to catching up with him. It's been quite some time since I've gotten the honor of talking to him. He's a former Constitution Party member in the state legislature. Speaking of Lake County, I'll be in Lake County on Sunday for the Lincoln Reagan dinner there. Looking forward to seeing all of our friends in Lake County and the area. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, a young lady in Kalispell is helping to put on this big celebration of life for Charlie Kirk that's going to take place at Sykes Diner in Kalispell later today. I'll be there, but this young lady is helping to organize the whole thing. She's going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Back to Yellowstone County District Judge Lynn Weber here. Judge, talk about how this whole process is going to work now in trying to better organize these courts to separate, you know, some of the criminal cases from the other types of cases.
So on January 1st, when we are fully up to the 10 judges, we will begin operating in two separate divisions. One will be criminal, that will handle all the matters out of the criminal court. That'll include youth court as well as involuntary commitments. The other division will handle the civil litigation as well as the abuse neglect, the family law, and probate matters as well. And we'll be able to really set schedules that allow for everybody to have a lot more, a lot quicker resolution to their cases. We are going to keep a few things available to all judges. All of us love to do adoptions. Nobody was willing to give that up. So that will still be part of the random draw. And when there is a disqualification or substitution, the entire group will actually still be within the pool. I know the Chief Justice is busy working on putting together the substitution and disqualification zones for the state, and he's approved of this here. That'll give all the judges the opportunity to make sure that they still keep their feet wet with respect to everything, but also to make sure that there's no one judge within a particular division that gets overloaded if there's an unreasonable number of substitutions or disqualifications that just suddenly loads up another person. These will be three-year terms for each division, and then we'll rotate. And so after that, we'll be assessing this during the entire process as it is. It was very data-driven. I think Judge Souza could help you with understanding some of the rationale as to how we came up with that. But that looks to be the general breakdown.
Yeah, I love what you said there about adoptions and how all of the judges still want to be a part of the adoption process when you're dealing with crime and heavy caseloads, fights and disputes, and then to get just a joyous occasion like an adoption ceremony. One of my best all-time life memories was being in Judge Mary Jane Nisley's court for an adoption ceremony, so that was fun to hear that. Judge Souza, yeah, talk about how this whole idea came about.
So an organization called the National Center for State Courts, they regularly collect data and they conduct workload studies for judges across the nation. And so we've had multiple workload studies done here in Montana over the years. And what they do is they determine how many judicial officers are needed in a particular area to appropriately cover caseloads. And so after the legislature had passed the bill and Governor Gianforte had signed, we worked with the National Center for State Courts with our 2024 data to figure out approximately how many full-time judicial officers do you need for each particular caseload in the district. And so, for example, something like the felony criminal, that's going to require just over 4 FTEs, whereas something like domestic relations law, your family law, that's just under 2. And so we handle a vast array of different case types. And so then we took those numbers that showed the judicial need for each particular caseload, and then we tried to come up with a division that would be really fair. And what we came up with was this 5-5 split. And so essentially, once again, the biggest need is on the criminal side. And using the data from the National Center for State Courts, need about 4.25 judicial officers just to cover that caseload. And so then in that division, they'll also handle the juvenile delinquency cases and the civil commitments. Those are much smaller caseloads. And that gets them just to about 5. And then all of the civil cases that we handle are civil litigation, our family law, our probate cases. That is close to about another 5. And so it's not quite the full 10. However, what that extra time will be spent on, like Judge Lynn Weber said, we are all going to continue to do adoptions. We are all going to continue to do search warrants. And then we also have our standing masters in the district and our standing masters, Greigel and Nieland, who are great standing masters. They're going to continue to support both the criminal division and the family law division as well.
Well, very interesting concept. I'm looking forward to seeing how it works once it all gets fully up and running. Judge Souza, Judge Lynn Weber, greatly appreciate your time. It sounds like both of you have to run, so thanks so much for being with us and appreciate your time.
Aaron, thank you very much for having us. Love to be back on anytime you want.
Yeah, keep us posted.
Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks to both of you gentlemen. In the meantime, we'll pivot back to Chief Justice Corey Swanson. Chief, it sounds like here, you know, what I like about this is it's kind of like, you know, I mentioned Judge Mary Jane Nisely. You know, I got to go to one of her drug treatment court ceremony, graduation ceremonies. In fact, I saw you were the guest speaker at the last one. I got to see you there. It's like, okay, here's a good idea, and then you start to see it adopted elsewhere across Montana. What are some of the other good ideas you're seeing and hearing out there in the judicial side of the house?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, Aaron. And I think that's something we neglected to say is that the judges will still maintain their treatment courts, and we've got quite a few in Yellowstone County. Well, one of the things that I appreciated about this job is when you interact with people statewide, you see that the problems in, you know, Shelby, Montana are not the same as the problems in Billings, Montana. And so we've really done I've tried to emphasize to the district judges that if you guys see a problem and you have a solution that makes sense, that's within the rules, you know, I want to support that. And that has definitely been a trend that's picking up. And I really have to appreciate the hard work that the folks here in Yellowstone County did with the support of the county leadership as well. But I would say that probably a really common thing we're seeing statewide is a little bit of what you were talking about before we came on is the political rhetoric and the tension. There's always supposed to be tension in the government process. I mean, that's how it's designed, and that's to prevent any one entity or person from having all the power. So I support, you know, checks and balances and even friction between the branches. But if we reach a point where it's unhealthy and people are threatening violence, and we had a guy that tried to do a citizen arrest on a judge recently. I mean, those are the kinds of things where you go, okay, well, this could clearly get off the rails. So I'm hearing that statewide. So I'm working on an effort. I'm just calling it an outreach effort. I don't know if I need a better word for it or what, but where I'm focusing on inviting people to court and not inviting them to court in handcuffs, but inviting them to come watch court proceedings. Most of them are public. I mean, 95% of court proceedings are public. And if you ever want to just come watch a day of a trial or a day of just motions hearings and watch how things work, it's really a fascinating process. And really what I want to do is I want to connect judges and the rest of, you know, the people of the state, because we need to humanize each other. This goes back to the point. We're not perfect. I mean, heck, there's a thing I'm doing right now where I screwed it up and I'm having to redo it procedurally And judges aren't perfect, and the courts aren't perfect. You know, legislature's not perfect, cops aren't perfect, but we all have to strive to do our best. And so that effort to connect people and do a communication effort and to humanize the court system and to humanize, you know, court judges need to understand a little bit more about the legislature, in my view. I think that's part of this long-term, ongoing national conversation about the rhetoric and the let's talk and not fight effort.
Yeah, you talk about humanizing things like courts. I mean, the dehumanization, the people that are celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But really, you've even seen, you know, former Montana Supreme Court justices who have essentially promoted some pretty radical concepts and vicious attacks, including what seems like the embrace of political violence. With about a minute or so to go, Chief Justice, what do you want to say about this increasing embrace of political violence?
Yeah, you look at every society that's failed, and you can say, okay, well, when you reach a point where your system's not functioning and people are going to their own bunkers and their own tribes and they're not meeting and communicating, then you see a recipe for a society failing. So we've got to get away from that. We've got to be willing to stand there and argue with someone in a nonviolent way, and it's okay if they disagree with you and you disagree with them. Hopefully you learn through the process. The other thing is you got to watch out for the fake stuff. There was a bot or a fake thing saying that the district attorney in Billings, Montana was celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. Well, that's nonsense, because that's Scott Twito. You and I know him. He wasn't doing that. And they're even called district attorneys.
Yeah, they're called county attorneys. Yeah. And the woman, I think, was a former public defender, not a current public defender, right? Yeah.
I don't even know who it was, but it came to me as the current district attorney in Yellowstone County. And I said, well, guys, you need to look into that, because that's obviously false. So you got to watch out for people that want to stir the pot, too.
And make sure that the information is accurate. Yeah, that's why I've tried to be really careful these last few days about, you know, keeping an eye on things. But like this Billings school teacher, and, you know, making sure I get proper sources that can vet it and clarify it, because they can create fake profiles. You just never know. Chief Justice Swanson, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with us and lining up our great guests as well.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this was great. Gal, it was probably, a month ago or so, and we got a phone call from Marilyn in Lolo. By the way, we got another great phone call from Marilyn in Lolo at the end of the 9 o'clock hour of the show yesterday. But we were talking about the PROTECT Act. And basically, you know, Marilyn Lolo was speaking out against the PROTECT Act. I know there was a lot of concern from folks, is a lot of folks concerned, especially in Lake County, that the tribal law enforcement would have more authority over non-tribal citizens. And so that was raising a lot of concerns amongst folks, especially in Lake County. And then at the time, you know, Marilyn and Lolo and I were talking about it. And I said, well, I certainly share those concerns. You know, hey, no disrespect to the tribe, but a sovereign nation is a sovereign nation. And so if you're not citizens of that sovereign nation, well, why should they have authority over you? I mean, I appreciate what folks are trying to do when it comes to cracking down on the drug dealers, which we know the Mexican drug cartels have been targeting these areas in particular. But we've got to be very careful about extending authority from a sovereign nation over citizens, you know, that are not members of that sovereign nation. But I told Marilyn at the time, I said, well, thankfully, the good news that I'm hearing is that effort, that bill will be killed. That bill will not move forward. I know Congressman Ryan Zinke is no longer supporting that. I know Attorney General Austin Knutson is not supporting that either. But then Marilyn said, hey, one of these days you need to get Rick Jor on your show. You need to get Rick Jor on your radio program. And I was like, that's a great idea. I need to get Rick Jor on the show because, man, I tell you what, when I was a young staffer, you guys know I went to college back in Washington, D.C. for a couple years at Howard University. And then as luck would have it, I ended up getting hired on as a staffer for former Senator Conrad Burns. And I always remember the name Rick Jor, because if you were talking issues in Northwest Montana, his team would tell you, get a hold of Rick Jor, get his take on this kind of stuff. So, Rick, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with us here this morning.
Thank you very much, Aaron. I appreciate it. And your lead-in was good. We in Lake County have issues that are unique to this area, for the most part, that many people across the state don't understand. And you're exactly correct. When you have a situation that the PROTECT Act would have created, all with good intentions, of course, but a clear violation of equal protection for individuals within the boundaries of the reservation here that own private property, that pay taxes to the state of Montana just like everybody else, but essentially are expected to be removed from the benefits and protections of the state of Montana. So when you get into the issues of taxation without full representation, at least, that's a big thing to a lot of people. And if I could just quickly mention, many of us in Lake County are frustrated with Mr. Daines for proposing such legislation, and it stems from previous legislation that he's carried that has the same problems. Many people don't know that S3019 that Mr. Daines sponsored to ratify the CSKT Water Compact, for example, has a land exchange provision in it that literally requires that ultimately tens of thousands of acres of both state and private land within the boundaries of the Flathead Reservation be given to the tribe after it's exchanged for public land, i.e. federal land, outside of the boundaries of the reservation. So that enhances the tax shift because it diminishes the tax base and creates a scenario where the possibility of further tribal jurisdiction over non-members will arise. It might be surprising to some of your listeners, but for example, the Lake County Commissioners have actually publicly suggested that this diminishment of the tax base may require Lake County to be dissolved and the southern portion of the county joined in with Missoula County and the north portion of the county added to Flathead County to mitigate that problem. So,
imagine, man, if you lived in the southern part of that county, if you lived in the southern part of that county, like Marilyn and Lolo, yeah. I mean, the people in Lolo want to get out of Missoula County and into another county because they're tired of paying all the property taxes and all the other crazy. You know, yeah, so if you lived in southern Lake County, imagine if you got stuck with Missoula County property taxes. Rick Jor, I should tell our listeners, too, back in the day, you first ran and were in the Montana legislature as a Republican in the 90s, and then eventually ran and got elected as a Constitution Party candidate, but you would still caucus, I think, with the Republicans, so you were a solid voice and solid vote on so many important issues in the state legislature. What do you want to tell folks about just your political history on that front and what you've been up to more recently?
Well, recently, I've been like everybody else, just trying to make a living. My business keeps me busy, and I'm doing what I can to just to make a living, Aaron, and trying to keep up with things political. Even though I'm out of office, I certainly communicate extensively with legislators. It's quite interesting to me. One of the issues that came out of this last session with the 9 Republicans in the Senate and them being disallowed from voting in the Republican convention is going to be interesting, since that court case was filed by 3 of those 9 claiming that they were disenfranchised inappropriately because, and the reason I find that interesting, Aaron, and I called in to your show one day when you were discussing this, is it seems to me that the judge is going to have to make a decision. In making that decision, the issue of whether political parties are public entities or private entities will probably have to be addressed.
That's right. I remember that phone call now. I didn't realize that was you, because oftentimes I'll just get a note from the producer, hey, it's Rick and Ronan on line one, or it's, and so, yeah, that's right. So our friend David Noble, who fills in for me on the show from time to time, he's a lawyer. He's also on the Yellowstone County Central Committee for the Republicans. And his take is, look, the Republican Party has their own bylaws. Their bylaws allow their members to change their bylaws. They followed the process. They changed. They basically changed their bylaws to not allow the nine, as they're referred to vote in the party leadership elections. So they're fully legally justified in doing so. But your point is that, what was there, a past legal case or something where they said, well, wait a minute, these political parties are not private entities, they are public entities. So you think that's the hook a liberal judge could use to actually side with the nine in this dispute? Is that a good summary?
It is a good summary. And I disagree that political parties should be public entities. They need to be privatized. I testified on a bill, House Bill 318, in the 2019 session that clearly established that political parties are created by the legislature and under the authority of the legislature. So after my time in the legislature, I've come to realize that a real problem is that, in fact, political parties are are public entities by state statute, and they need to be privatized so they have that autonomy that you're talking about.
So they can actually decide who their own members are and what it means to actually be a member of that organization, right?
Exactly, but it goes beyond that, Aaron, and this is where I'm having a hard time getting people to understand, because they're so used to doing elections the way we do them. If my contention is that if you privatize political parties, you cannot have taxpayer-funded primary elections.
Oh, interesting. Because then the parties would have to do it almost like their own caucus.
That's the way it should be, in my view. And I think it would restore the integrity of political parties. This is one of the reasons you have this discord in the party, is because tax-funded open primaries, the nominees for the parties aren't even elected by party members.
And then we wonder why you get two moderate of candidates that end up winning in conservative areas. All right, hold that thought. Quick break. More with Rick Jor right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
But the things in my life that my parents gave me, that foundational faith that has sustained me. And I would argue, when people ask me, you know, well, how have you been able to achieve something that a lot of people in this business don't achieve, and that's longevity, I would say, number one, it's definitely the work ethic of my parents. Number two, I finely tuned conscience that I developed from a very young age thanks to them and their sacrifice. And then my own natural pursuit of a spiritual life. Human beings are mind, body, and spirit, and that belief in God is foundational to how you live your life, and that keeps you out of trouble.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
When was the last time you bragged about your wireless company? Like, did you know my wireless company gave away 1,000 American flags to deserving veterans and forgave $10 million in veterans' debt? Did you know that my wireless company raised almost $500,000 to prevent vet suicide? In other words, when your wireless company is Pure Talk, there's a whole lot to brag about. You can even brag about the coverage you get with Pure Talk. They use the same 5G network, the same cell towers as all the big carriers. And guess what? The average family saves over $1,000 a year. You can get unlimited talk and text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's saving everybody a fortune. Make the switch. It's simple, fast, easy. Just dial #250, say the keyword, save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword, save now, from our friends at Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy conditions across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay into the upper 70s. For tonight, with clear skies, overnight lows in the upper 40s to around 50. And then for Friday, back into more sunshine with highs in the upper 70s to around 80 degrees. With clear skies Friday night, a low around 50 is expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Conrad, Montana. I'll tell you what, it was so great to catch up with a young man from the University of Montana. He's only a sophomore, and now he is the chapter president for the Turning Point USA chapter there. That's who we talked with on Wednesday's Montana Talks. What are we going to talk about on Thursday? Well, why don't you tell us? Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. We got that coming up Thursday. Should even have some open phones time Friday as well. And then I'm in Polson on Sunday.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I just had a great conversation with Rick Jor during the break there. And so we'll have to get him back on the show again here one of these days to talk in more depth. But Rick, with just the quick few minutes we have left here this hour of this show, I know you want to weigh in on the tragic loss of Charlie Kirk. I know it impacted you greatly, like so many all across Montana. What do you think is the underlying issue that's really at play here in this country right now?
In short, the secularization of America. The great Russian author Fyodor Dostoevsky said, if there is no God, then all things are permissible. And that we have become so secularized, in my view, Aaron, that we are entirely confused about ethics, morality, justice, and law. The historical American position understood that God alone, the God that's talked about, for example, in the Declaration of Independence, has the authority to define those terms. In a secular society, man becomes his own God. And so ethics and morality and justice and law are defined entirely subjectively. Every man becomes his own God by default, automatically. And what's interesting to me is that these secularists who promote this notion of subjective morality are hypocrites in the sense that they disallow those who they disagree with to come up with their own subjective notion of morality. And of course, Charlie Kirk and myself, we would argue that that morality is not subjective. There has to be a transcendent and eternal source of that. That's what in my view, that's what the Declaration, for example, expresses when it says we hold these truths to be self-evident. And then goes on from there with, you know, all men created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Once you embrace secularism to the extent we have, you have ethical and moral confusion. And up can be down and down can be up, and boys can be girls and girls can be boys. You reject every aspect of what the Declaration calls the laws of nature and nature's God.
Yeah, criminals put back out on the streets and the innocent put behind bars, which we've seen here in recent years in this country. Yeah, Marilyn and Lolo last week earlier in the week before the Charlie Kirk assassination talked about this country and how we're really more in a spiritual battle than we are in a political battle right now. And I think she was spot on. It's a battle of good versus evil right now that we are seeing on display across the board. And I truly think that Charlie Kirk, he was hated even more so because he wasn't afraid to talk about his faith on these college campuses. And it made the anti-Judeo-Christian leftists even more furious with him.
I agree. And there's an irony in the fact that one could argue, on what basis are you claiming that Charlie Kirk is spewing hate? Because you've already embraced subjective definitions of ethics and morality. So how can you not allow that for another individual? You've claimed autonomy once you've rejected God. So why do you not grant that same autonomy to other individuals? That's the fallacy of humanistic autonomy.
Wow.
Autonomy directly translated.
Well Rick Jor, we are out of time, but I tell you what, it's been so great to catch up with you. We got to do this again. Thank you so much for your time, and hopefully I'll see you in Ronan this weekend. I'll be at the Lincoln Reagan dinner for Lake County this Sunday. If I don't see you there, we'll have to catch up again.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.